Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to come to you today and talk to you for a few moments here about staying disconnected. Staying disconnected from this world. It's something that the Lord will help us to do if He loves us. It reminds me of a scripture in Hebrews that God disciplines them that He loves. To count hardship, difficulties, troubles that you're going through and facing, to count them as discipline, to consider them, to look at them as discipline from the Lord. Because He chastens, He disciplines those that He loves. When you look in the Word of God, you see a clear picture being painted for us. God is a wonderful artist, and He's constantly painting pictures for us. That's why prophecies often have 2, 3, 4 fulfillments. They keep being fulfilled in different ways until the final fulfillment, because God is always painting a picture for us to see something. That's how He teaches us. He paints a picture. He shows us things. And throughout the Word of God, we see a picture being drawn of the fact that when it's time for the marriage supper to take place, when it's time for the saints to go and be with Jesus, many, actually it says, it doesn't give an amount, it just says one by one, they all of them it's talking about. Doesn't mean every single person is going to miss the marriage supper, because many will go in. But those who were invited at that point in time, it's going to be the religious people, the Christian, the believer. Those who were invited one by one begin to give an excuse. And what is the excuse? The excuse is not, I'm loving drinking alcohol, I'm loving fornication. The excuse has nothing to do with what we would consider sinful things. The excuses that they give one by one are simply that they are connected to things that are in this world and they want to be here a little bit longer. Someone says, I just got married. Let me enjoy my marriage. One says, I just got some oxen. I just got some more possessions. I just got some land. These things just happened. Oh my goodness, I don't want to go yet. There's a hesitancy in them. And this is something that God has drawn for us, a picture He's drawn for us, all down through history and in the Word of God. There's a story about Lot, Abraham's nephew. He pitched his tent next to a city called Sodom. And when God was going to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, He sent angels to get Lot and his family. And the angels instructed them, do not look back. Do not look back. And they rushed them out of the city, and the fire began to rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife, she glanced back. She looked back. Why would she look back? And why did the angel say not to look back? Well, the most simple practical answer is that she was looking back at her stuff. She was looking back at what she was leaving behind. There were things there that she was connected to, that had become a part of her. Friends, family, different people that were there that they left behind when they came out of the city. Her home, oh my goodness. I don't know what kind of home they had built there, what kind of property they had attained, what things that they had, they were rushed out. They couldn't hardly take anything. And they were leaving all of their possessions, all of the things that they had gained, leaving them behind. And Lot's wife turns, of course, we know the story. She turns and looks back. And immediately, she was turned into a pillar of salt. It's like a statue. A statue. She became a big clump of salt. And I remember years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart when I was in prayer about the coming tribulation. And many, he impressed upon my spirit, many believers will be left behind in that great tribulation, and they will be salt at that time to the earth. The salt of the earth are the witnesses of Christ. The salt of the earth are those who share Jesus with the world. And Lot's wife turned and looked back and was left behind, so to speak. She turned into a pillar of salt, and God said it's a picture. It's a picture because many of those who will share the gospel during the great tribulation time will be those who missed the marriage supper. They will be those who are left behind. And the reason they will be left behind, according to Jesus, is because they were connected to something in this world. They loved something here. They wanted something here. They still had hope in something here. I know this is kind of a dark message, and most of what I preach is. I don't have people that like to hear it for long, usually. But most of what I preach is because this world is dark. Our life is dark. That's why God's trying to deliver us from it and bring us into His kingdom of light and life. Everything we have here is part of the darkness, and God wants to keep us disconnected. To stay disconnected is what I want to minister you today. You can't do it by effort. You can't do it by your own effort to do so. You can't do it by trying to learn how to do so. Only God can do it. And God does it by allowing difficulties and hardships so that you don't want to stay here. The things you hope in, for example, some young people, I can't wait to get married. Then they get married and find out it's not all that they thought it was going to be. You know, they thought they were going to live happily ever after. I can't wait till I have kids. Can't wait till I have grandkids. Can't wait till I retire. Can't wait till I get this kind of job. Or can't wait till I move here or do that. And every little thing or every season you go through, every different thing, it's the same thing. This life, apart from Jesus Christ, is empty, full of pain and sorrow and difficulty. I love the scripture, in this world, in John 16, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. If you look up overcome, it's actually conquer, defeat. In this world you're going to have a lot of tribulation. If you look up that word, it's pressure. But he says in there to be of good cheer. You look that up, it's courage. It doesn't mean just be extremely happy even though you're going through all this. It means be courageous. And then he says, I've overcome, I've conquered the world. The world is not something we should like. It's not something we should love. It's something he has defeated on our behalf. And the world, it's described, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is love for the world? The lust of the eye, what the eyes desire, when you see something and you want it. The lust of the flesh, what your flesh wants. And the pride of life. And that's been explained, what a man has, his possessions and what he can do, his abilities and what he's accomplished. It's the pride of life, liking life, loving his own life. The Bible said those who overcame the enemy did so by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives. They didn't love their lives. Very important. Even unto death. And if you broke that down into modern English, it simply means they didn't love their lives all the way to the point of giving it up if it cost them their life. Many of them were even put to death, but they didn't love their life. They didn't want their life. And that's how they overcame the devil. You cannot overcome the devil if you want your life, if you want your Adamic life, if you want God to bless it, if you want it to be happy, if you want it to be good, You can't overcome Satan. And so God wants to get us to a place where, and keep us at a place where we are disconnected. And unfortunately, that means when things start going well, usually right around the corner, something else is going to hit you. Because there's always something that's going on. In this world, you will have pressure. It's a constant thing. It doesn't go away. It lets up at times, but then something else happens. You finally overcome one obstacle, and bam, there's another one. You finally get to the place where you thought you wanted to be, and boom, there's more problems and more difficulties. And sometimes we think, and naturally, that this is because God doesn't love us. But in reality, it is because He does. It's because He genuinely loves us. It's because He cares for our soul. And he wants us to stay disconnected. So I love the scripture, God chastens those that He loves. If you're going through hardship as a believer, if you're going through difficulties, if things aren't going your way, if things aren't turning out the way you'd hoped, if you don't feel like God is blessing your life, if you're liking life less and less, then it's proof positive that God does love you, that you are truly called. You are truly a child of God. If things are going well and you're so happy and you're prospering for it, oh God, have mercy on you. I feel sorry for you. But if you have all kinds of things going wrong and troubles and pains and difficulties, and more as you live, the less and less you like this world, the less and less you want it, the less and less you want anything that's here, or the less and less you look forward to any new season or anything that's coming, because everything's the same and you've seen it all and you just don't really like it. You don't want it. That's where God wants you to be. Paul stayed there. The only reason he wanted to even be here for another second was to be a light to the lost. He's like, it's much better for me to leave. I don't want to be here. But for your sake, I'm here. He didn't say, so I can get married, so I can have some land, or so I can retire, so I can finish my career, so I can raise my kids, so I can see my grandkids. None of that stuff. The only reason he wanted to live was to be a light to the lost. Otherwise, there's no use in being here at all. I go through that when I don't have opportunity to minister. They've closed the prison again. Just this week they called me in because of COVID. They closed the prison. And sometimes in my prayer, I'm just like, God, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to live in this world if I don't have an outlet to minister the gospel. I'm not looking forward to grandkids. I'm not looking forward to retirement. I'm not looking forward to the new season or the new house or the new car or the new whatever, because I know every single bit of it is the same thing. And it's all decaying. There's no real joy in it. There's no real life in it. In this world, it's pressure. But Jesus has conquered it. It's not our friend. It's not something He wants to give us for our obedience. That is the old covenant with totally different goals. And the whole purpose of it was to get us to a place where we don't want it, where we don't want this world, where we don't want our own life, because everything God's calling us to is an eternal thing. It's true riches. It's true life. And this life is not it. So I keep this short today, beloved, but I just want to pray for you, pray for myself, pray for us today as a body, that the Lord would keep us disconnected by His grace and help us to deal with the discouragements, help us to deal with the negative emotions in the process. Because in order for us to stay disconnected, that's all part of it. We got to go through that. The Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of something. I want you to know about something for a reason. I don't want you to be ignorant about the troubles that came on us when we were in Asia. Oh my goodness, he said, we despaired even of life. He just simply said we didn't want to live anymore. We hated life. We didn't want to live anymore in this world. He said, but this happened. Same thing with the thorn in the flesh. But this happened. That we may not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What does that mean? We went through all of this misery and pressure and even depression. We didn't want to live anymore. We hated this world. We hated this life. This happened so that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in the power of the resurrection. There was a thorn given to me, he said, in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to torment me and sent to harass me at every corner. And God told him the reason was that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we don't like life, when we're being broken, when things aren't going right, that's when the strength of God is perfected. And that's when God's life is manifested. And so, friend, if you're frustrated, if you're going through difficulties, if one battle after another one and you're waiting for it to be over, by the grace of God, if He loves you, it won't be over until you get out of this flesh, until we get out of these bodies. But one thing He will do, if you'll look to Him, is He will keep you disconnected. He'll keep you in a place where you just don't want what this world has to offer, so that when He does call you, when that sudden call comes, when that midnight cry comes, there's nothing in you at all that hesitates. There's nothing in you that looks back. There's nothing in you that still has hope in something here. May God keep us disconnected in Jesus' name and give us the grace to be able to handle what we go through so that that can happen. God bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.